Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd as we get show 48 up and running.
Man, it's been a great week of sports once again. And of course, we've had some great event yesterday. We'll get into that in just a minute. We're talking about the world of boxing. But more importantly, Sean Wally, man, we've got some other interesting sports news on the way.
You know, that's one thing that I love about sport. There's always something new, always something unexpected. And every single day, sometimes every hour, there's something new, something maybe that wasn't supposed to happen or nobody thought was in the works. And then, bam, there's a new headline.
Yeah, so what you're talking about, Sean, is we're talking about golf, my friend. And, man, this was a weekend that, was unpredictable, if you will. And so, of course, Tiger Woods being out of the Masters. But, even though there was a new winner in Bubba Watkins, man, this wasn't his first rodeo. He's got his second Masters green jacket, Sean Wally.
Yeah, it's a good thing for Watson, and we'll have more time this hour to get to the Masters. And now let's go ahead and get on out to our holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in New York Giants cornerback Walter Thurman. Walter, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Walter, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, man. And it's a little bittersweet, especially for Sean Wally up in the Pacific Northwest, introducing you as a New York Giant. Man, what's going on with that? And how are things going with the transition to New York?
I'm just thankful for the opportunity, looking forward. And just looking forward to continuing my playing career with the Giants in this organization out here. And trying to make a splash next season.
Man, first of all, I wanted to, I didn't congratulate you on your Super Bowl ring, man. Congratulations on winning that Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. I know that was a fun time for you, getting a chance to play with such a fine program as the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, that was a great opportunity in itself right there. Just that group of guys, the coaching staff, the whole organization down there, it was just a great opportunity. And just to see that whole process that what Pete Carroll has built and John Snyder to get to that pinnacle of the Super Bowl, where only 19 other teams has been able to do it and to be part of that class, it's a tremendous honor.
Man, well, what I'm looking forward is with you bringing your expertise, your football prowess, and getting a chance to play with the Legion of Boom, taking that to New York City and seeing if you can help the New York Giants actually become, get back to that Holy Grail as well. So, I mean, is that something that you're looking forward to also?
Most definitely. And I've been talking to Coach Pete, the DB coach, and really, I'm just going to bring my work ethic and my competitive nature. That's one of the things that's been instilled in us. Being out there in Seattle and that Legion of Boom group back there in secondary is just really that pride of competing against one another on the field every day at practice. That's where it really starts at, and that just transfers into the game situation. So I'm really going to bring my work ethic and my hard work, really, at the end of the day.
Walter, what do you take away from the Super Bowl experience back there in the stadium you now call your home stadium?
Once you get into the playoffs, it's anybody's game. No matter if you're the number one team out there or if you're the guy that just got in on the wild card. I've been in both those situations, and it really comes down to whoever wants it more. That's been the whole mindset for us during these playoffs, and we were able to tough it out, and we had some tough games out there, and at the end of the day, we just wanted it more than anybody else in the league.
Now, Walter, you spent a lot of time in the Pacific Northwest, not just with the Seahawks, but also as an Oregon Duck. Now you're transitioning to the East Coast. Is there much difference? Is it any different going back east?
I think it is going to be a little bit different. Playing for the one of the teams in the biggest market in the country, And I think my time in the Pacific Northwest has ran its course. I've been out there for almost 10 years. I love the Pacific Northwest. It's the great people out there in general, and it's a place that I can't call my home, And I'm just looking for this new transition, this new change of scenery.
Walter Thurman, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. And Walter, you have some ties to me, and you probably don't know that, but the tie to me is that my son played for the Oregon Ducks with you in 2006, 2007. That is wide receiver Daniel Barkley, who is, you know, is a guest also on the double with the Double S Express. And, man, I mean, you know, he's had nothing but great things to say about you. And so he wanted to send that shout out to you, Walter, and, you know, especially going back east.
Oh, yeah, Daniel, he's a great guy. I haven't talked to him in a while. You
got to
tell him what's up.
Yeah, man, so, yeah, he definitely wanted to send that shout-out to you. And, of course, you know, what Sean was talking to you about as far as, you know, playing on the in the Pacific Northwest, but, of course, you growing up in Los Angeles and going to West Covina High School, now you're going to New York playing with the Giants. It's going to be still familiar territory with you. You've got Jeff Schwartz with you, who's an Oregon Duck, along with Spencer Paysinger. And then, of course, you playing in, you know, the NFC East, you're going to be going up against Chip Kelly. So tell us what that's going to be like, you know, to go up against one of your former coaches.
You know, that's going to be a lot of fun right there in itself. You know, there's still some players that are part of the Oregon program that play with Philadelphia, and just going against those guys, being familiar with that offense and stuff like that, and really what their goal is, how they want to attack defenses. And so I think I can bring some insight from that perspective to help the guys out.
Walter, who have been some of your biggest mentors that have helped you throughout your career, whether it be college or now in the pros?
In the pros, I would say Roy Lewis, when I first got in, he really took me under his wing and helped me out with the defense and everything. Lawyer Malloy, Marcus Schufa. I mean, a bunch of those guys, and Marquand Manuel, the assistant DB coach out there right now. Just a bunch of guys that really just aren't selfish people and just really just want to get back to the game and help the younger guys out to really succeed. You know, at the end of the day, it's a brotherhood and it's a fraternity, and you just want to see the next person succeed. You know, whether if you're going against them and competing against them, or not. You know, you just really want to watch the guy succeed in front of you. It's the same thing with Jeremy Lane. I have much respect for Jeremy Lane. I wish him the best, and I saw him a lot. I'm really excited to see how he plays this year.
Now, Walter, how much are you looking forward to the OTAs that are a few weeks away down the road and get things rolling with the Giants?
I'm very looking forward to it. I'm really ready to learn the defense, ready to get immersed in the culture and meeting my new teammates and everything, and building a championship team. You know, that's what the game is really about, though, to win championships. And this organization knows how to do that, you know, by winning four of those. And looking forward to the new opportunity ahead.
Walter Thurman, again, kind enough to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Now, Walter, you're going into, you know, of course, playing with the Giants again. And, you know, Tom Coughlin has kind of a reputation of being a disciplinarian. Is that going to be something new with you? I mean, I know that Pete Carroll kind of had the, you know, the aura of actually being kind of a player's coach. Kind of give us an idea on what that's going to be like moving forward with a disciplinarian type of coach in Tom Coughlin.
I don't think it's going to be a big deal at all, though. I mean, I've had coaches like that in my past, especially at Oregon with Coach Alioli. He was one of those type of guys. And at the end of the day, they just command respect, you know, and the respect goes both ways. And once you're out on that field, it's time to work and everything like that, you know. So, I mean, I don't think that's going to be a problem at all.
So with your role going in with the Giants, I mean, I believe that you're expected to take a little bit more of a leadership role. I mean, now you're a seasoned veteran. You have a Super Bowl ring. You know, have you had a chance to talk with some of the DBs and you know, kind of get an idea on what your role is going to be like moving forward?
I haven't got a chance to talk to any of the DBs at this moment in time. I know Antro is going to be he's the oldest veteran in the room, though, you know, and first and foremost, he's going to be the leader in that back room. You know, I'm just going to give insight where I can put my input in and stuff like that. And really just lead by example. You know, that's one of the biggest things I do. You know, so many people can talk about it and not really show it themselves. And I feel that if you're able to show your work ethic and show what you're talking about before you can even speak about it, I think that carries more weight than anything. So I'm just going to go in and just work and just learn from the guys and just try to get the group better in general.
That's the voice of New York Giants cornerback Walter Thurman joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Walter, off the field, you're doing some great things. You've got some foundation work you're doing down in Africa. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I want to just help give back. My grandma actually lives in a Sierra Leone area, and she's been out there for almost 10 to 12 years, you know, and she's doing a music school out there. And I just wanted to help give back and just help build up some of the infrastructure out there. And so that's what some of the efforts are going for.
Man, that's a great thing to be doing for you, and a way to, like you said, give back and spend your time doing good things, not only in the community, but around the world.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, Walter, there's also a film that you've got going on called The Pursuit. What is that about, and how did that come about for you?
I've had a passion in a film growing up, and I've had some interviews in my short career so far in the NFL, and after I broke my leg in 2011, I created a film company called Get More Films, and I'm actually in the works of producing a documentary on the history of football. And so I'm a history guy, and I love football, so I decided to combine the two, and I was really curious about the history of football, where it came from and how it started. And that's what led me to my first endeavor, and then I've had some friends who was an actor that I live next door to in Oregon, and came to me with the pursuit, and we decided to start working on it, and we're looking for some funding right now and planning to shoot sometime in the summertime, hopefully before I can start camp, so I can be on set, but if not, then it's all right.
So, you know, with the film coming out, of course, you're saying the history of football, you know, kind of give us an idea a little bit more on, you know, on some of the subject area of the film.
Well, yeah, with the documentary, you know, I mean, football really started from, really played as soccer in the United States, and then it evolved to rugby, and even in the college ranks, it was still some kind of form of rugby or soccer, but where you can actually tackle it and stuff like that. And then in the late 1800s, that's when you really start to see the American football actually start to take shape and everything like that. Now, the earlier history is pretty quite interesting, how American football almost got banned by the president because there were so many deaths in 1 year. And so the president stepped in and said that the organizations have to do something to alleviate this cause, these deaths, or football was going to get banned. You know, so I mean, it's pretty crazy that the history is so, there's so much depth that comes from it.
Wow, man, that is amazing. So we're talking about deaths in football in its evolutionary stage. You know, man, that kind of threw me for a loop there. And so, you know, kind of moving forward to you as a, you know, in your position as a safety. I mean, obviously, defense. I mean, you have to have your head on a swivel, and you know, you're a seek and destroy type of a player, you know, as a corner as well. So, you know, kind of give us an idea. I mean, you're studying the history of football, but yet you're going out there as a gladiator week in and week out, and you're laying the punishment, man.
Yeah, exactly. We are modern day gladiators. You know, that's what one of the aspects of the film transpires about. You know, and. You know, I mean, the league is doing some things to keep the game safe, you know, but, I mean, it's hard to keep a vicious game safe, though, you know. It's kind of almost like an oxymoron situation, but, I mean, there's techniques and stuff like that you can do to really alleviate and prevent some of the injuries that are caused from playing the game.
And so with that being said, what are your thoughts on the safety of the NFL right now, you know, as far as, you know, is Roger Goodell doing enough? As far as, you know, putting safety first, or are there some things that need to be implemented?
I mean, honestly, I mean, like I was just saying, you know, it's just the nature of the game. The game is a vicious game that we play. If you really want to make it safe, you might as well just play flag football, you know. I mean, that's the only thing you can really do to make it totally safe, you know. But, I mean, everyone knows what they sign up for, you know. We love the physical nature of the game, and you know, it is a great game.
Walter, getting back to your passion off the field that is filmmaking, what role do you prefer to take in doing that? Do you like to produce, direct? Do you like to do a little bit of everything?
Mainly producing, and I would like to get into some directing as well. I actually directed the documentary and stuff like that. The pursuit, not so much. I'm more on the producing side. But really just getting my feet wet as far as when I am done playing my professional career, I can dive into that full swing and not have to take steps back.
Now, Walter, the date hasn't been set yet, but how excited and amped are you going to be when your New York Giants look to invade CenturyLink Field and play against the Seattle Seahawks?
I'm actually looking forward to the opportunity. I love playing away games just because it's you against the world in that situation, and I know how enthusiastic and how great those fans are in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm really just excited to go against that atmosphere and embrace that energy and go against my old teammates. You know, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Walter Thurman, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And now, Walter, that leads me to my next question. So, you know, the Seahawks, you guys win the Super Bowl, and it seems like, you know, of course, you're going to the Giants, and you know, you would think that the team would stay intact for the most part. Kind of give us an idea on what it's like as a player as far as what you're looking for, you know, as far as your future is concerned. Because, you know, for me, I'm thinking that, well, hey, after you win a Super Bowl, you're going to, you know, wind up, you know, getting the contract with the team that you win a Super Bowl with. It's not quite that case. So kind of give us an idea on your thought process on going forward with the Giants.
Yeah, you know, I mean, first and foremost, it's a business, you know. I mean, it's not we're just playing football anymore like it's college or anything like that. First and foremost, it is a business. And with that being said, you know, we can't – we had a lot of guys that were due for contract this year, and they couldn't sign a lot of guys back just because of their worth and how they played throughout the year and them trying to save money to try to disperse it into their quarterbacks, you know, with Russell Wilson and Keeping Earl and Richard Sherman, those guys that really deserve – to get paid pretty well, you know, for their play and of how they played the past couple of years. So, I mean, it is a business. They can't keep everybody. I think this is the best situation for me for on-the-field endeavors as well as off-the-field endeavors as well.
Well, definitely, Walter, it sounds like you have a strong head on your shoulders. You're doing a lot of things outside of football, which is great. And, you know, one of those things is, you know, the project that you have in Africa, and you know, which is another similarity that you have with my son Daniel. Of course, I sent him over to Ghana when he was, I believe it was around 11, 12 years old. And man, he learned a lot of things over there as far as, you know, handcrafts and you know, just responsibilities. And so, you know, for the both of you to be at the institution at the University of Oregon, you know, that says a lot about, you know, you guys are thinking the types of players that the University of Oregon are looking for. And, you know, I just wish you the best on all of that. And I can't wait to watch your film, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll let you guys get the heads up when it's about to come out.
And so, Walter, you know, again, what Sean Wally was talking about, of course, you're coming to CenturyLink Field and you're getting a chance to play against the Seahawks. I mean, come on, give us a little insight. I mean, I know that is something that you have definitely marked on your schedule. Of course, you want to show out and show the Pacific Northwest that, you know, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed at all, you know. I mean, the biggest thing is going to be just playing against those guys, you know, playing against them. You know, we go against them in practice and everything. You know, that's one aspect. But, you know, really getting up there in the battlefield and going against them, I mean, that's just going to be just a great opportunity. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know it's going to be a lot of trash talking. All good fun.
Most definitely, man. Well, hey, Walter, thank you for being on the show, man, and thank you for taking this time out to be on the Double. Wish you the best of luck, and man, hey, don't be a stranger. And of course, you know, if there's anything that you need from the Double S Express, we would, you know, love to help you out, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, thank you for having me on here. It's been an honor.
Thanks for your time, Walter Thurman, a cornerback now with the New York Giants. Great insight on the league and what he's doing outside of football.
So there goes Walter Thurman. Man, Sean, I tell you, it's so cool to get a chance to, you know, have these guys on the show, and you know, we talk about their actual sport, but more importantly, the things that they do outside of their sport. And of course, Walter doing some great things, you know, writing films, man, that takes a lot. That takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, a lot of energy. You got to give it to them.
And also, Walter goes down in the record books, and we didn't get a chance to tell him this, but we could hit him up on Twitter. The very first current pro athlete here on the double.
Man, you know what? You're right, Sean. I mean, man, that's amazing. So, yeah, our first one, and this is show, what, 47?
48.
48. So, man, that is awesome stuff. That is awesome stuff to have, you know, Walter on here. And, of course, he's going to do some awesome things with the New York Giants, no doubt.
All right. So when we come back, keep it right here. We'll be talking about the Masters, and then we'll have guest number two, Ryan Leong from the Bay, a big Bay Area sports writer, coming right up after this on The Double with the Double S Express.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Or go to andro400.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Big time guest number one tonight that you just heard. New York Giant, and that is tough to say. New York Giant corner Walter Thurmond.
Yeah, you know, Sean, the biggest thing is, you know, what we had talked about as far as, you know, players moving on, you know, to other organizations. You know, what Walter was saying was that, hey, this is a business, you know, and, you know, you would think after winning a Super Bowl that there's a lot of euphoria that goes on, which there is. And, you know, the teams come together and they say, hey, man, you know, this is something that we would like to keep going. But in the grand scheme of things, when you actually, you know, sit down at the table and you get a chance to talk about, you know, what this athlete will bring. And of course, you have the agent involved and, you know, the agenda that's brought forward there. It makes it a lot tougher to actually have players coming back. And, you know, Walter, you know, is doing, you know, what's best for him and what's best for, you know, the teams moving forward as far as the monies that are allotted. It just makes it a different era, Sean Wally, you know, when you're talking about dynasties. And, you know, we've talked about this before. We talked about the, you know, dynasties like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers. Of course, of modern time, we're talking about the New England Patriots. you have to tip your hat off to teams like the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers for keeping things intact, especially when there's free agency involved and the pot is always sweeter or the grass is always greener on the other side.
Well, you look at the NFL in the free agency era, and they say roughly 30% of your team will not be back. And that's just the economics of it all. You can't keep everybody. There's a salary cap. You can't pay everybody what they feel they are worth. And it's just not possible. And you have to look at a guy like Golden Tate. Seattle offered him roughly $3.5 million a season. He got double that in Detroit.
Yeah, and there's always going to be a team, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Sean. There's always going to be a team that is actually taking a look and seeing, you know, who you are and their needs, and they will offer you, you know, whatever it takes to get you to play for that for their team and fill that void. And I just think that, you know, the New York Giants have offered Walter, you know, a nice purse, and, you know, he's just going to continue to do the same things. He's going to go out there and play strong defensive corner. He's going to play physical, and that's something that Mike Coughlin is looking, for in an addition. And, you know, he's going to do an awesome job.
And, of course, this past weekend, we touched about it at the top of the show, the 2014 Masters at Augusta National. Golf's very large, possibly their largest spectacle of the season, and it was a good round and came down to the end, and Bubba Watson claiming the green jacket.
Yeah, so Bubba Watson is putting himself in distinct company. You're talking about a two-time Masters champion. Of course, the players of recent that have done that. You're talking about Phil Mickelson and, of course, Tiger Woods. And then there's Bubba Watson, who, you know, played consistent golf throughout. And so, you know, hats off to him. You know, I was thinking that maybe the Masters would have a drop in attendance, with Tiger Woods being there. And let's face it, it did have a little bit of a drop. But as far as the ratings were concerned, the Masters did a really good job, Sean Wally, over the weekend. And, again, Bubba Watson winning his second. That seemed to be kind of a darling or a gem, for Augusta.
Yeah, and everybody, wants the big names to do well. And, of course, with Tiger not there, you're looking at Lefty. You're looking at the young up-and-comer Rory McIlroy. He finished at even par, which at Augusta is an amazing feat in itself. And you look at Watson finishing 8 under. That's just an amazing score for 4 days of playing at Augusta National. And 20-year-old Justin Spieth finished 5 under, and he made a hard charge trying to catch Watson. And of course, that's what the viewers and the people that were there in attendance wanted to see. Not only a 20-year-old try to win it, but have that competition and maybe a playoff with Watson, but it just didn't happen.
Man, isn't that amazing? You're talking about 20-year-old Justin Spieth coming in, and he, the Masters was at his grasp, and then I believe at the 12th and the 13th, I think he bogeyed on both holes, and things just kind of fell apart and set things up for Bubba Watson. And, with Spieth being a 20-year-old, with golf is always looking for that next greatest thing. When we're talking about Rory McIlroy, we're talking about, who's going to battle against Tiger Woods. And then, a few years ago, it's Phil Mickelson. Who's going to battle against Tiger Woods? You can kind of see with Justin that, we were kind of leaning towards that point of, is this kid going to pull it out? And if he pulls it out, can we put him towards the forefront? And, it just didn't happen with those double bogeys that put him out. But, it was still a great Masters nonetheless.
Let's head on out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number 2 tonight. And that is Ryan Leong, sports writer at Examiner.com in the Bay Area. Ryan, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for being on the double with the Double S Express. Man, we're going to get right to it. Man, what is going on down there in Santa Clara? And what I mean by that is, we have Alden Smith in the limelight once again. What say you as far as this storyline going on, man?
Not very very smart. I mean, this guy is obviously a world of talent, but he's not the smartest player for sure. And I mean, to be as belligerent as he is constantly with members of law enforcement, and being in a situation with TSA, I mean, you know better than to make, you know, jokes, funny or otherwise, saying that you have a bomb. It just doesn't make for a good situation. And obviously the reason the 49ers will hang on to him is such a great talent. I think in, 43 games in his career, he's got 42 sacks. I mean, this guy is just a great talented player, but he's certainly not an upstanding human being, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, we're talking about Roger Goodell earlier with Walter Thurman, who was just on the show. And, you know, now, you know, we're thinking with the second chance that Alden has been given, what are the Yorks looking at, or what is the front office looking at as far as disciplinary actions? And is this something that they can handle, and should the NFL actually take over?
It's hard to say. I mean, they may decide to make an example out of him because he's already, like, this is basically like a third strike. I mean, he had that incident with he was firing an automatic weapon at someone's house party, and then he basically was drunk and drove over somebody's lawn, and now you have this incident. I mean, he's just not been a good example for the 49ers whatsoever. And as I mentioned, the league may use him as an example here to prevent other people from making, you know, such similar mistakes in the future.
Ryan Leung, kind enough to join us on the Double at the Double S Express. And, of course, we're getting a little bit of feedback. Ryan, I believe you're at the Warriors game. Is that correct?
Actually, I'm on a BART train right now heading to the Warriors. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but there was a little bit of an incident with BART earlier in the day. But also, Andrew Bogut is the big news. I guess he broke some ribs last night in the game at Portland, and he won't be playing anytime soon.
Yeah, so let's shift gears to that then. Of course, Andrew Bogut injuring his ribs, and you're mentioning the Warriors. Let's talk about Mark Jackson. I mean, I believe Andre Iguodala will be out tonight for tonight's game. And then, of course, Andrew Bogut playing in the game late. He gets hit in the ribs late in the game. You know, of course, we in the Bay, you know, we're kind of shrugging our shoulders as to why Andrew Bogut was in the game. But moving forward, going into the playoffs, you're looking at David Lee, who's banged up, Andre Iguodala, who's banged up, and then you mentioned Andrew Bogut. What are the signs pointing to as far as Mark Jackson and his coaching prowess?
Yeah, it's going to be really tough for the Warriors. I don't really see how they're going to make it out of the first round without having Bogut in there, because you just simply don't have enough depth. I mean, even though you have Jermaine O'Neal as a backup center, and you've got Maurice Spates to help out at power forward and a little bit of center as well, you just don't have the depth to keep those guys, what's the word?
But what Ryan was talking about, of course, there are some injuries going on with the Golden State Warriors, and, you know, Andrew Bogut being one of them. And, you know, of course, we're talking about Andre Iguodala, that's out as well. And David Lee, who has also had some injuries as well. This doesn't look good for the Golden State Warriors, Sean Wally, especially when their first-round opponent is going to be the L.A. Clippers, which seems to be a hated rival as it's been going on, you know, this season. You know, so, you know, what do we think there as far as, you know, all the injuries are concerned?
It's definitely the wrong time. You don't want to head into the playoffs with people hurt, with people unable to play, with your team not at full strength. You know, you want to be the team that's clicking on all cylinders, that is riding that wave and everything's going right, and that's not the way the Warriors are heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, I'd mentioned just before Ryan was disconnected there, of course, he's getting on the BART train. Man, if any of you have ever caught the BART, you'll understand that there are some pockets, there are some tunnels. As a matter of fact, that BART, depending on what part of the Bay you're on, you go right through, and I kid you not, you're going right through the Bay to get to the other side if you're coming from San Francisco over to the East Bay, which is Oakland. And, you know, I was talking to him about Mark Jackson. There have been some murmurs going on as far as his coaching. And, of course, there's a Pacific Northwest tie there with Ryan Scalabrine, who was released as a coach to the MBDL duties. And I believe we have Ryan back on now. Hey, Ryan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Thanks.
All right. Hey, yeah, I had a little bit of audio difficulty there, but thanks for being back on. We were just talking about Mark Jackson and some of the decisions that he's made, and one being Ryan Scalabrine as one of his assistant coaches, and another assistant coach here as of recent that he has let go. I mean, is this something that – is this a precursor that this might be the last year for Mark?
It could be. I mean, it's unfortunate because I think he's done a good job turning the culture of the team around, but there's certainly been enough turmoil with those two coaching decisions, as you mentioned. And then also when you take into account all the injuries, it just makes it very difficult for him to have any room for error. And I just think that management and ownership is expecting a lot out of him. And if they don't I think if they don't make it past the first round, I mean, that could signal his end as a coach, even though I think personally it's not fair in that situation. He probably still should be in a position where his coaching future shouldn't be in jeopardy whatsoever. But that's not how it works, I guess. You know, it's like, what have you done for me lately?
Now, Ryan, Sean and I were talking while we were reconnecting with you that the Warriors are almost, they're not backing into the playoffs, but things aren't going well for them in terms of, you know, these assistant coaching changes, the players that are injured. And if things ended right now, they'd be playing the Clippers. And then that's a rivalry that you want to be clicking on all cylinders right now. And that's not the case.
Oh, exactly. They're not. It's just, when you have injuries like this and it takes away from your depth, I mean, it just makes it that much more difficult for you as a team to succeed. And I think one of the guys that's really been kind of an unfortunate absence has been David Lee. I mean, that hamstring injury of his just really hasn't healed properly. I guess finally he's finally back in there now, but you know, he missed so much time with the team that now you put him in a situation where he's back on the court, but Andrew Bogut is not. It just doesn't make for any kind of cohesion.
Now, Ryan, you've got so many teams down there in the Bay Area, and a couple of them that have started off pretty well here, switching to baseball, the Giants and the Oakland A's, two teams that are doing well in their respective divisions.
They're doing well. Yeah, it's early in the season. I think the Giants certainly got a big lift yesterday when they got that walk-off home run by Brandon Crawford. I mean, they certainly needed something like that. I mean, you get another good and solid pitching outing from Tim Hudson, and unfortunately he's got nothing to show for it, but they still win the game that he started, and that goes a long way because had they lost that game, you're looking at dropping two straight series at home with the Dodgers context, and that would just, you know, that wouldn't be an end-all, be-all, but you just obviously feel a lot better about yourself it being in a situation where you're coming off a win, you get a day off, you get to enjoy the off day that they're having today, prepping for that big series coming up tomorrow. So that bodes well for them. Same thing for the A's right now. I mean, they're doing pretty well considering, you know, they've had some of their own issues. I find it kind of hard to believe that they would place the outfielder Sam Fold and designate him for assignment. But I guess Billy Dean knows what he's doing, or he certainly wants to do anything in his power to make sure he keeps Derek Barton on the active roster and not worry about a guy like Sam Fold, even though Sam Fold quickly became a fan favorite. And the A's have been getting some pretty good pitching in their own right, so they've gotten some timely hitting, and they're off to a good start as well. In fact, they're, I believe, 5-1 on the road trip as they take on the Angels tonight. So it's early in the season, but certainly, yeah, you want to get off the gate and start off well, and both teams have shown that so far.
Ryan Leon, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And yes, Ryan, you hit it right on the head, man. I was asking that same question about Sam Fold. I couldn't figure out why he was sent on assignment to the minor leagues when he was actually doing so well.
Yeah, it's just strange. But I guess, like I said, Billy Bean has always had he's always had a soft spot for Derek Barton, who looked a good defensive first baseman. But he just hasn't done much to win over A's fans. I mean, he hits with very little power. He had that incident on in a home opener where he failed to score in a play where he should have scored the tying run. Didn't happen. The A's ended up getting shut out 2-0 on opening night. And so, you know, just adds to a long list of why A's fans just aren't big on Derek Barton. But, you know, again, he's shown he's got a good presence at first base defensively. But again, I mean, I don't know. I think that's going to come back to bite the A's personally, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, the A's are doing a really good job right now as far as patching things up. One of the things you mentioned as far as, you know, the pitching is concerned, they're finding ways to win. Of course, it looks like in the beginning of the season, there are a couple of teams that are trying to step up, especially in the AL West. And you're talking about, one, the Seattle Mariners, which Sean Wally is definitely familiar with. You faced the Seattle Mariners twice, and the Oakland A's have come out winning 4 of 6. So that's a pretty good start for a team that's been banged up, you know, with starting pitching and trying to figure out what their batting lineup's going to be.
Right, totally, yeah. I mean, again, you know, when you look at just how the A's are finding ways to get it done, it's been fun to watch. I think they're getting a lot of good production out of Yoenis Cespedes, who this offseason has really learned how to hit the ball better towards the opposite field, hitting balls to right. You know, it'd be nice to see if they can get Josh Reddick going. I mean, he's always had trouble getting his bat going, but particularly this season, it looks like it's really glaring. And hopefully Josh Donaldson can get it going too, because he had a great year for the A's last year at third base. But yeah, they're still getting some good production from guys like Coco Crisp, and you know, they mentioned Cespedes has been doing quite well for the A's. So you know, with some of those guys, you see the production that they're providing, and Brandon Moss is a good power hitting first baseman. The pieces are in place. So you know, again, as long as I think the A's can get the starting pitching that they've been getting and getting some timely offense, they should continue to win ball games for quite a while.
Now, Ryan, what's your take? What does your gut tell you? What insight do you have on stadium issues with both the Raiders and the A's in Oakland?
I don't right now. In fact, you know, it's interesting that you know, Jean Kwan did an interview recently with another talk show about her the state of the A's and the Raiders both, and it just doesn't seem like right now anybody has any clue as to what's going on, and it's unfortunate because I think the city of Oakland deserves much better, given that they're the only city in the Bay Area that has three major pro sports franchises. That's even better than San Francisco. I mean, now, you know, you have a world-class city in San Francisco left only with the Giants. And you've got the 49ers, of course, moving to Santa Clara. You've got the Sharks in San Jose. And you know, most of the other teams are in the East Bay. And so I just think it's unfortunate that all three of the current East Bay teams want to move out of Oakland, or at least get a situation resolved somehow, where certainly the Raiders are looking even at a place like Concord to move to. So the fact that you have three of your teams in a municipality that want to move out of the area, it just doesn't speak very well for your city leaders and for the city itself.
Do you think there's ever going to be a drop-dead date where they say, okay, we have to have XYZ in place or else?
I think that'll happen if another city comes in and says, we're going to break ground somewhere, like the 49ers did in Santa Clara. When that happens, that's when you're going to have your drop-dead date. I think for now, the A's, Raiders, and the Warriors all have a little bit more time. Although the Warriors, it looks like their situation, well, I think they're going to move to San Francisco and probably build their arena where parking lot A is right now, which is right next to AT&T Park.
Ryan Leon, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And so, Ryan, you know, you've done a lot of journalism and broadcasting, of course, with San Francisco SF Bay Sports as an editor. Man, we're talking about 3,000 games between all of the sports that are in the Bay. How do you do it, man?
That's a good question. I don't know. Somehow I managed to get myself out there for each one of the games, and I'm on my way to the Warriors tonight. So, you know, it's just like anything else. I guess it's like being a starting pitcher in baseball, or like almost like Cal Ripken. You know, you just try to keep going every day. And just, you know, the good news is, I guess, that makes it interesting. With the number of teams we have in the Bay Area, there's no shortage for interest and for stories and the people that make up the teams. And I will say this, it is an exciting time right now. I mean, the only team right now that's really been struggling Bay Area-wise has been the Raiders. Everybody else is, you know, doing quite well. I mean, you've got success with both the Bay Area baseball teams and the Raiders. I mean, the Warriors and the Sharks are headed to the playoffs. Yeah, it's an exciting time right now, and I think it's great to be a sports fan of the Bay Area.
Let's talk about that one team that hasn't had success, you know, over the past few years as far as Bay Area sports, and that's the Oakland Raiders. You have Reggie McKenzie that has come in. There's, of course, Mark Davis taking over as, you know, in the ownership. Is Reggie McKenzie and Mark Davis doing a good enough job in the offseason here to actually prove to Raider fans that things are going to be different here in the near future?
I thought Mark were moving pretty good until they picked up Matt Schaub. I'm not sure what to make of that. Matt Schaub is a couple years removed from the last really good season. He was terrible last year for the Texans. I just don't know if he's got it in him to, like, come back, especially when you're playing with a new team in the Raiders and a team that, of course, as you know, hasn't had a winning season since 2002, which is a long, long time. I just think there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to succeed. I mean, he does have a lot of good solid pieces around him, but again, I just don't think that even with all of that, how well it's going to translate into his success. I mean, I would like to see hopefully the Raiders have like anywhere between 6 to 8 wins, but I'm not banking on anything more than 8 wins if they can get that. I mean, then again, people thought the same thing about the Niners, and they were able to go 13-3 in the first year under Jim Harbaugh. So, I mean, it just goes to show you that sometimes it has nothing to do with your level of talent; it has to do with your coaching. So, that being said. You know, this is it for Lane Kiffin. I mean, I'm not Lane Kiffin, rather. Lane Kiffin's already gone. I'm thinking of Dennis Allen, rather. Dennis Allen, you know, in his third year with the Raiders, I mean, you know, he really has to show something this year because he's got 2 years of consecutive 4-12 seasons and, you know, really no experience as a head coach before this. So the Raiders have had some success in the past with guys that had no experience as coaches, namely John Gruden and John Madden. But, you know, I think for Dennis Allen, he's definitely going to have the microscope under him this year, and he better show some improvement. Otherwise, it's just going to be on to the next coach.
Most definitely. And so let's, Ryan, I want you to put on your GM hat for a minute. I'm going to put you on the hot seat here. And you've shown a question mark as far as Matt Schaub is concerned. If you're the GM and you have the number 5 pick for this year's draft, who are you picking?
You know, a lot of people have said take Johnny Football. I mean, I wouldn't mind thinking that they should take a guy like Johnny Manziel. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, I know a lot of people have said that, you know, Terrell Pryor should get more of an opportunity, but it looks like he's had his chances and he just hasn't really shown all that much. I mean, he's a tremendous athlete, but he just doesn't have the wherewithal to be like a quarterback that you would like to see in the National Football League, very similar to like a Tim Tebow. I mean, Tebow just obviously didn't have it either, even though he too was a tremendous athlete. But I personally would give someone like Johnny Football a shot.
Ryan, in all the games you've covered, do you have one or two that stick out as favorites for you?
Boy, if I had to think of off the top of my head, unfortunately, I was actually doing a radio gig where I was actually on the air as a anchor for KCBS Sports. I didn't have a chance to go see the 49ers playoff game against the Saints where Alex Smith redeemed himself against Vernon Davis, but that was certainly a memorable moment. Actually, the one I was at when I first started doing my game coverage was the catch, too, where Steve Young found Terrell Owens in the end zone, and I was there for that game, and I stood on the 10-yard line as we waited to go to the locker room, so I was actually right on the field when that play happened. That probably stands out to me as, like, one of my most memorable moments just because of the scope of the game itself, and the 49ers were still in their heyday of you know, just coming off that dynasty of having won their fifth Super Bowl only 4 years ago. So that would actually stand out to me as number one in my mind. And I've seen a handful of other really great baseball games. I think also just being there for some of the great Giants moments, like when they were in the World Series the last 2 years, has been fun to watch. And certainly the A's. I think the A's and their fan base has really shown something. Even though I know unfortunately they more often than not don't get fans, but when they do get a big game at the Coliseum, and that place is rocking with all the fans in the stadium, I mean that can't be beat. And also lastly the Warriors. I think the Warriors have had some great moments as well. And I think all of those great playoff runs you're able to experience, that's what makes it worthwhile for me to be a sports reporter.
Is writing what you prefer, or do you like the radio side?
I kind of like the radio side because it provides a bit of immediacy that you just don't get with print, although now it's changed because of Twitter. I think nowadays, because of the way online journalism has gone, there's certainly a difference now. I think everybody has caught up to the fact that social media has really changed it for everybody, and now everyone has a chance to get their opinions heard and rather quickly. You know, there really is no time delay. I mean, when something happens nowadays, you can tweet about it, and people know about it instantaneously. So if you get some breaking news, like, for instance, let's just use Andrew Bogut as the example. I mean, the moment that Mark Jackson mentioned that in his pregame press conference, I mean, people were tweeting about it immediately. And that's just an amazing thing that you can have that kind of power to break news, not only for journalists, but for fans as well. And I think that's the biggest change that you've seen in sports and in entertainment and news.
Ryan Leong, Examiner.com, among many other places in the Bay Area sports world, thanks so much for your time and insight, and safe travels to the Warriors game as you are on the BART, and hopefully you make it safe, man.
Okay, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. We'll do it again sometime, hopefully soon.
All right. Take care, Ryan.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Man, we are setting records tonight, from Walter Thurman being the first current player on the show with us to our first guest traveling via BART.
Man, traveling via BART, man, and I thought that I was going through a time warp the way the sound was. And again, if you've ever caught in BART, you know, for those of our fans around the country that aren't in Northern California, man, that thing moves fast and you can hear it. And, man, I know Ryan's trying to get to the Golden State Warriors game against Minnesota, where Minnesota is jumping out on the Warriors 11-2 last I checked. So it's not looking good for the Warriors just yet. But man, some awesome stuff going on with Ryan. As I mentioned before, 3,000 games in the Bay. That's some exciting stuff.
Yeah, and so, when there's so many of them, you know, you can go so many different angles with it, and we'll definitely have Ryan on again.
Yeah, so we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we will have some more sports talk for you. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Cause you burn with the brush flame. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, excuse me, as we move along, show 48.
Man, show 48 moving right along. And, you know, of course, we've had some great discussions with two awesome guests. We just had Ryan Leong with San Francisco Examiner on the show, covering Bay Area sports. And, you know, and as I mentioned before, over 3,000 games that he has participated in as far as doing journalistic duties. And, of course, our first guest, Walter Thurman, former Seattle Seahawk for you, Sean Wally, but now New York Giant.
And if you've been tuning into the show and there's a couple baseball games you might be interested in underway right now, one down in Texas, the Seattle Mariners putting a hurt on the Rangers in the top of the ninth. It is 7-1 Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it's 7-1 to Seattle in Seattle's favor in the top of the ninth. And there's no doubt about it that the Seattle team is a different team this year. And so I look at them being one of the top teams in the AL West. And, of course, one of the other games I'm sure you're going to toss to me, and that's 1-0. The LA Angels are leading the Oakland A's, and that's in the early goings here. And, you know, that game is on ESPN if you wanted to tune into that. You know, you got to tip your hat off to the Seattle Mariners and, of course, the Oakland A's. Of course, Bob Melvin doing a splendid job with the Oakland A's, of course, they being on top of the AL West as we speak. And so baseball is definitely upon us, Sean Wally.
And yeah, for not only AL West fans, baseball fans in general, Mariner fans, A's fans, you would hope that it stays tight, at least the race does, the top two, maybe three teams, that they're competitive. And I don't think anybody is good enough to run away with the division by 10, 15, 20 games. But hey, that's why they play them every day for 162 games.
Yeah, so you're looking at the top two teams right now that we just mentioned, and that's Oakland and Seattle. You know, let's face it. I mean, the Oakland A's know exactly what they're doing as far as creating a strong farm club franchise. And that's why when you have injuries in, you know, whether it's pitching or in the field, they always know how to place their players and continue a consistency. I think the Seattle Mariners are almost there. They're not quite there, even though it's early in the season and you can't really, you know, proclaim a particular team a champion. I just see the Oakland A's as probably a more consistent ball club, Sean Wally, you know, and, you know, moving forward, I think that the Mariners will be there, you know, if it's not this year, somewhere in the near future, in a year or two.
And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if Seattle can stay playing above 500 and keep things, keep their fans interested into May and into June and not be out of the race by May.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago was getting off to a great start, and I believe that you brought that up. And it's important for, you know, teams to actually set precedents in the beginning of the season, and the Seattle Mariners have definitely done that. And so being a game and a half out of first place right now, they've shown that, you know, they're a team to be reckoned with. And, of course, let's face it, whenever you have King Felix in your you know, as your ace on your ball club, you're going to do some great things. And I think that the Mariners have done some awesome things as far as additions in the offseason. And it was a question mark to see if Robbie Cano can actually come in and be a lift for the Mariners. And it looks like he's doing just that. And, of course, you have some other ball players that are actually stepping up as well. And so I just think that, again, that it's going to take a little bit of time, Sean Wally, before these guys actually get together and find out who they are. I'm saying, you know, at this early part of the season, and if I were to predict right now, I'm going to say that the Oakland A's are the favorite, which they were the favorite in preseason to win the AL West. But I think that moving forward, their experience will put them over the top as far as the pennant race.
Mariners and A's have played six games in this super early 2014 Major League Baseball season. Seattle scoring 15 times in those six games, the A's scoring 20. And as you look at the scores of those six games, nobody ran away with any of the games. Most of them were close. There was one that went to extra innings. Of course, one got postponed down there in Oakland. And so these teams are fairly similar, and it should be interesting to see if they can maintain the 1-2 division spots moving forward.
Yeah, you know, they're similar in the fact that if you're looking at a three-game series, that it's going to be a close three-game series. I think one of the things that you and I talk about off air is this is the fact as far as the Oakland A's and the Seattle Mariners are concerned, is Seattle has a little bit of a toe to do as far as developing a strong bullpen. Once you get past the starters of the Seattle Mariners, I think the teams start to salivate, and that's when the run support starts to fall apart. And, you know, as the year goes on, if the Seattle Mariners can actually solidify their bullpen, they're going to be a team that is going to be real scary. But right now, you know, I've been looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, all right, once we get Felix out of there, then we got to get to the bullpen. That's when the runs start to come up. And that has been the case. So the starters come in, have some real good pitching. They give you six innings of strong pitching, which means that the Mariners have done a great job as far as putting together their rotation. But as far as the bullpen is concerned, it is real shaky right now. And it's early in the season, and they can actually better that. But right now, you know, it just seems like, you know, once we get to the bullpen, we can start to get some runs.
There was a big event in Las Vegas Saturday night.
You know
it. A big boxing match, and it was turned out to go all rounds, and a decision was handed down, Sean Boyd.
Man, and you know, this was a big fight as far as we're talking about Bradley Pacquiao, and you had to have been under a rock to not be a part of that. And, of course, our producer, Alicia Flores, was down there at ringside, basically in Radio Row, and getting a chance to see things firsthand. So, of course, on the double with the Double S Express presence was there. It was a great fight. I predicted that Pacquiao was actually going to take this fight. And, you know, I mean, you know, Pacquiao seemed to be, you know, the one that was more prepared to actually right a ship. The first fight between Bradley and Pacquiao was a decision, a split decision that was in favor of Bradley. A lot of people said that, you know, Pacquiao was robbed. So I knew that Pacquiao was going to come out here and he had something to prove. And he did just that, Sean Wally. He went out there and he basically, you know, just boxed Bradley to oblivion there. I mean, I know he didn't knock him out, but, you know, it was unanimous that, you know, that Pacquiao was the better person and he was more prepared.
Sean, do you think this fight is going to go into help boxing, bring the casual fan back, and that, yes, there wasn't a knockout? Do you think it will go a long way in getting boxing back on the right side of the fans and get more people buying those pay-per-views? And, you know, we've had a lot of boxing guests on the show, from George Foreman Jr., Rich Murata, Bob Stelton. So there are boxing enthusiasts out there. It's just a matter of, can you bring in the casual fan that will drop the $50 on the pay-per-view and they will make the trip to Vegas?
You know, that's a great question. Of course, as you mentioned, we had Rich Murata on the show and George Foreman Jr. You know, I think that what would get boxing fans back and get boxing back on the map would probably be, you know, a boxing match that is more towards the heavyweight, you know, the heavyweight division. The heavyweight division, let's face it, is dead. You have a lot of, lightweight and welterweight champions that we're looking at right now and trying to find a solid ground in boxing. But it isn't until we can actually find heavyweight boxers that actually come in and develop themselves is when boxing actually comes back in the fold. Now, this was a great fight, no doubt about it. I'm sure there was a huge purse as far as pay-per-view is concerned. And, you know, it seems like most people were looking at Pacquiao to win this, and they were successful in that. But it won't be until that heavyweight rank finds somebody or finds a group of men that can actually go in there and take care of business will boxing get itself back to where it once was.
Yeah, it's definitely a way that boxing can quickly bring fans back, bring viewers back, is to have that big splash, that big name in the heavyweight division. And there hasn't been that person for quite a while, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah, you know, and you hate to compare the two. You know, you're talking about boxing and, you know, wrestling, and I won't compare the two, but there seems to be kind of a storyline, with this. And, you know, it boxing is missing something. It's still a great sport. It's still a sport that, you have some of the lighter weights that actually put on exhibitions to show you how boxing is supposed to be done. But it isn't until, again, you have these heavyweights that come in to where you have the whole world actually gravitating and believing. Let's face it. You know, you have Pacquiao fighting Bradley. And one of the things that we're talking about today, the day after, is when is Mayweather and Pacquiao going to fight? And, you know, it draws me to exhaustion because, you know, right now I don't think that it's actually going to happen. I mean, you're looking at Mayweather that's actually in his late 30s, probably 36, 37 years old. And, you know, Pacquiao is doing things in government and he's making music and then he jumps back into the ring. And, you know, the fans see all that. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, boxing is trying to find its way. You have great people such as the Foremans and the Muratas that are, you know, keeping it afloat. But there's going to have to be something major that happens to, you know, to get the whole world to believe that boxing is back to what, you know, back to the times of the Tysons and, you know, the Holyfields and, you know, dare I say, the Alis and the Foremans. And so it's just a matter of time, but that class is very important. The heavyweight class is very important for boxing to get itself back on the map.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California. I'm Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. on the Double with the Double S Express Show 48. It's been a good one. We've had Walter Thurman, cornerback of the New York Giants, on as big time guest number one. Big time guest number two, Ryan Leong, riding the BART to the Warriors game, Bay Area writer and reporter.
Yeah, you know, so of course with Walter Thurman, Northwest High, Seattle Seahawk, now New York Giant, Oregon Duck, and of course growing up in Southern California in Los Angeles. And Ryan, you know, I get a kick out of doing work with Ryan. Of course, you know, working with the networks, I see Ryan every weekend at the Raiders in the 49ers games and the A's and the Giants. And Ryan does a great job as far as giving us sports in the Bay Area. And if you had a chance to actually see Ryan, you couldn't tell. I mean, if you see him firsthand, he looks like he's about 21, 22 years old, but he's been doing this for about 15 plus years. So we know he's a little bit older, but I definitely appreciate Ryan Leong being on the show and doing awesome work in Bay Area sports.
And you can find Ryan and his work at Examiner.com for his latest articles, Examiner.com.
Well, man, show 48 in the books, Sean Wally. It has been an awesome show once again. And, of course, you know, sending a shout-out to Don Newsom, our engineer, Alicia Flores, of course, coming back from Las Vegas, our producer, 48 in the books. And we look forward to having a great show again next week with awesome guests. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Show number 48 in the books from the PNW down to Northern California, all across the country and around the world. We thank you for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up, you can...